Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us about the establishment of the church. The Bible tells us about the conversion of souls. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that there were 3,000 who obeyed the gospel on that day. The Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Peter preached that sermon on that day. And the Bible tells us 3,000 of them were baptized into Christ. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 47 that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. As you survey the book of Acts, some have declared it to be the book of conversion. And certainly that is true. Because what you and I read about in the book of Acts are those who have been converted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I could spend many hours, as we have done on Wednesday nights studying the book of Acts, but we could spend many hours just looking at the sermons that are preached in the book of Acts. It's kind of interesting if a preacher were to just say, "Okay, all I'm going to do is preach the sermons that are contained in the book of Acts," he could spend an entire year perhaps doing just that. Because men like Peter and Paul and Barnabas and others preached sermons in the book of Acts. I want to focus in on one of those this morning. And it's found in the book of Acts, chapter number 10. If you know your Bible, you'll know that Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius. The Bible says that Cornelius was a devout man, that he gave alms, and that he prayed to God. The Bible tells us that God sent him a message. "You need to send to Joppa for a man called Peter, and he's going to come and tell you words whereby you and your house can be saved." And he did that. If you'll remember, Peter was somewhat reluctant. He was in Joppa and on the housetop, and God let a sheet down. And he said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And if you'll remember that God sent him a message, "What God hath cleansed, call not thou common." And he told him, "There's some men waiting on you." If you'll remember, they came to Peter, and Peter went with them to the house of Cornelius. When you and I look at the conversions, if we go back to the book of Acts chapter number 2, and the Bible says, here is the title of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. If you go to other illustrations or examples in the book of Acts, you will find in Acts chapter number 8 that when the Ethiopian eunuch was going back to Ethiopia, and Philip ran, and the Bible says, joined himself to the chariot, and he heard him read from the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah. The Bible says, he said, "You understand what you read?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the Bible says that he began at the same scripture, and what did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and he said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Ladies and gentlemen, you go back to Acts 2, what did Peter preach? Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. When you go to Acts chapter number 8, what did Peter preach? Or what did Philip preach? Jesus of Nazareth, a man again approved of God. And he did that out of the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah. When you go to the book of Acts chapter number 9 and you see the conversion of Saul, you'll find the same thing. Listen, Saul said, "What will thou have me do, Lord?" And he's told him, "You go to Damascus and it'll be told thee there what thou must do." Now when you come to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and you and I read about the conversion of Cornelius, if you go with me to verse number 34 and down through verse number 43, there are some things about the sermon that Peter preached on that occasion. And basically he said, starting out the very beginning, he said that with God there's no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. then what you will find in Acts chapter number 10, and one of the phrases there, and if you have a copy of the book of Acts chapter number 10, I want you to look at verse number 36. Because there's a very telling statement in Acts 10 and verse 36. Listen to this. He said, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel." The message must come from God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, preachers, they don't preach. They should not preach what they think ought to be preached. The message ought to be from God. The Bible says, and the message that came to the children of Israel, where did it come from? It came from God. That is why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word," not your opinion, not your ideas. He said, you preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, because the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. In John chapter number 15, our Lord emphasized the Word of God. If that Word abides in you, and then you do what with that? You take that Word and you go out into all the world. That is what the Great Commission is. In Mark 16:15, the Bible says, you go into all the world and preach what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Ladies and gentlemen, the message that must be preached is not after men, but it is the holy word of God. Go back again to the book of Acts, chapter number 3 and 4. And Peter made this declaration. Oh, they said, you go out here, but you do not preach in the name of Jesus. He said, listen. Hey, I'm paraphrasing this, of course. We cannot help but preach what the Lord has given us to preach. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Peter said, it doesn't matter to us what you say. It doesn't matter to us that you say, don't go out here and do this. He said, we cannot help but preach and teach the things which we've heard and seen. And so when you go to Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 36, the Word of God, the message of God that came to the children of Israel. And so it is this message of the Bible that must be preached. There are so many individuals today who want to hear everything else but the message of the Bible. They want the preacher to make them feel good. They want the preacher to say, well, everything is all right when it is not. It reminds us of Ahab. He said to his prophet, you're always telling me bad things. Why don't you tell me something good? And so we find that God said, you preach the message. Now then, what is the message that Peter preached? In the book of Acts chapter number 10, there are four or five things that Peter preached. And we find these in the next seven or eight verses of Acts 10, 34 through verse 43. Number one is this. Peter preached that Jesus lived. Now you'll find the Bible says in this lesson that Peter preached that Jesus went about doing good. Now ladies and gentlemen, we could spend the entire service on that one phrase. The Bible says that He went about. There are some individuals who do not go about. The Bible says that He went about. So churches have the idea, we've got a new building. And the idea is, you know, if we build it, they'll come. Let me tell you something, my friend, that's not true. Number one, it's not biblical. Number two, it is not the Great Commission is not build a building and folks will come. The Great Commission is you go into all the world and as you go, you preach the gospel. So if you and I have the idea, I have made this vow, I said, man, we get that new building, we'll see our attendance go up. What if it goes down? You see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can get into a complacent situation and say, oh, we've got the, oh, come, and we've got this new building. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good. You get these folks in here and you and I bring them. We don't want to forsake our door knocking. We don't want to forsake our efforts to go out into our community. We don't want to forsake any means that we may have to reach and preach to people out in our community. The Bible says that Jesus went about. Now, what did he do when he went about? You know what tells me also something? That it was deliberate. That it was deliberate. That it was planned. His life, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I came to seek and to save those which are lost. Luke 19:10. In Mark chapter number 11, the Bible says, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He went about. Now watch this. The Bible says he went about doing. Now I've got six other points, so I've got to rush on with this one. But he went about doing. He was not complacent. Now, not only that, but the Bible says, Peter said he went about doing good. Now, there are some folks who go about and they preach a false doctrine. Some folks go about and they sow discord. Some folks go about and they gossip. Some folks go about and they criticize. There are some folks who are criticizing. There are some individuals who are gossiping. There are some individuals who are sowing discord. There are individuals who are going about pursuing pleasure, pursuing wealth. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good. What did he do? He introduced men to God. He said, if you have seen me, go back to the book of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I want to show men God. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you and I look at Jesus in the book of Luke chapter number 4, the Bible, John sent a message and he said, are you the one that has come or do we look for another? And Jesus said, you will see that the lame walk, that the sick are healed. And he gave a kind of a resume of the work which he had done. He comforted the bereaved. Go to John chapter number 11. He raised the dead. He had a compassionate spirit and attitude. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at that statement that Jesus lived, that he went about doing good. Second, what did Peter preach at the household of Cornelius? He preached that Jesus lived. He preached, secondly, that Jesus died. When you and I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, the death of Jesus Christ, what does the death of Jesus Christ mean? See, he understood. I mean, Cornelius, when Peter said, but he died, they hanged him on a tree. And he died. Have you ever considered, what if Christ had not died? Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If Christ had not died, then I could not be saved. The Bible tells me, Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? I could not be saved if Christ had not died, because it is in the shed blood that my sins are washed away. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, and verse number 12, the Bible says, if we're buried with Christ, we'll also be raised with Him. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. So if Christ had not died, I could not be saved. If Christ had not died, the Old Testament would not have been placed out of force. Colossians 3:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. If Christ had not died, then the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, would still be in force. If Christ had not died, then the New Testament would not be in effect, because the Bible says where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is not a force so long as the testator liveth. Christ died on the cross, thus ushering out the Old Testament and ushering in the New. If Christ had not died, I could not have been reconciled to God. Read Ephesians 2:11-15. men were separated from God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, He said these Gentiles, and that includes us, ladies and gentlemen, we are Gentiles, that He said you are without God, without Christ, strangers of the commonwealth of Israel, without Christ and without hope in the world. But ladies and gentlemen, what has happened? That we now have, that middle wall of partition has been broken down, and you and I have been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. Peter preached what? Peter preached that Jesus lived. Secondly, Peter preached that Jesus died. Thirdly, he preached how he died. And you find it interesting? Had Jesus drowned, would that have been effective? See, had Jesus been burned? Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that he was hanged on a tree. That tells us how he died. Somebody said, well, is that important? Yes, it's important. Number one, it's important because that's what the Old Testament prophets prophesied. He was despised and rejected of men. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was despised and rejected. In Psalm number 22, the Bible says that he was pierced. Read the 333 prophetic messages out of the Old Testament. So look at this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, that you keep in memory what I delivered unto you. First of all, I delivered to you that which I also received, how that Christ died," look at this, "according to the Scriptures." How important is that? That he died. According to what? According to the Scriptures. As we studied in our Bible class today, we studied about the canonicity of the Old Testament, New Testament book. As you and I go back and look at that, then it makes even more important those words by those Old Testament prophets. So what did Peter preach? He preached that Jesus lived. He preached that Jesus died. He preached how Jesus died. He preached that Jesus lives. First one was lived. The fourth one is lives. Why? Because the Bible says he was resurrected. And Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter said he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus lives today. We sing the song, Jesus Lives. A wonderful story. When you and I sing that wonderful story of how Christ lived, died, and is living because he was resurrected. He did not remain in that tomb. You know what Peter said? Peter said, looky here. He must have been from the south, he said, looky here. I don't know. But at any rate, he didn't quite put it that way, maybe. He said, David's sepulcher is with you until this day. Jesus is not. See, that's one of the differences, ladies, in Islam and Christianity. See, Muhammad is still dead. He died and he's still dead. Jesus died. And in 3 days, he came forth out of that grave. He lives. Peter preached that Jesus saves. Peter preached that Jesus went about doing good. Peter preached that Jesus died. Peter preached how Jesus died. Peter preached that Jesus lives. Peter preached that Jesus saves. Now I'm gonna go skip verse 42 and go to verse 43. Because he points out the remission of sins. That through Jesus, we have the remission of sin. I'm not going to dwell on that because we already mentioned it. But when you and I understand that Jesus saves, now then the last point, and that is this. In verse 42, he judges. So what did Peter preach? But Peter preached to Cornelius that Jesus saves and that Jesus judges. I will stand before him as you will in the day of judgment. Peter's sermon to Cornelius. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. You can go back to Acts chapter 2. You can go to Acts chapter 3. You can go to other passages in the book of Acts, and you know what you're going to find? The same message was preached over and over and over and over and over again. Every man needs to hear that message. Jesus saves. Jesus judges. Jesus was hanged on a tree. Jesus lived. And Jesus lives today. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, might have it more abundantly. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to change your life by repentance, confess His name before this assembly today, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins.